This is the Todd and Friends Podcast.
I don't like to waffle on predictions. That doesn't mean I always hope I'm right.
Oh, what's he going to do? Oh, come on.
I'm with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Todd, I knew we'd agree on something here.
From the KWLM Sports Studio.
I'm Todd Brigette. The podcast today brought to you by Granite Bank in Spicer and Cold Spring. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Joining us on the phone is Jeff Ash. He's kind of running around crazy today, going all over the place, getting in some work and headed up to Fergus Falls to watch some baseball. So catching you on the road a little bit, Lefty. I appreciate you finding a little bit of time here for us to do the podcast. Another exciting day as you're on the road again. What a surprise.
Yeah, I'm afraid these talks are going to change a little bit, though, because it's really winding down. I can't believe this is their last weekend, their conference baseball.
Wow, already?
I said I feel like we're still figuring out what the pitching rotation is and who should play where, and they're literally done. They'll be done tomorrow night with their regular season, and then they have seeding after that, and then they host the regionals. And that would be starting like next Thursday. So,
okay.
I hope it goes for a while yet. If you remember last year, we were fortunate to go to the World Series. So,
yeah.
We could have a good month yet of baseball, but we could also just have a week. So, you just never know.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, that.
So the sun is out. Holy balls. The sun.
Yeah, that's a rarity. Yeah, is that what that orange thing in the sky is? That's the sun? Is that what that is? I was unfamiliar.
I know. I don't think I've had my sunglasses on for a week.
So, that's great. So good luck to Brooksy as the season heads into the postseason here. And hopefully, yeah, you get to travel a little. Where was the Nationals last year? Where did they play that?
Last year it was in Tennessee. So it was in Northeast Tennessee. It's escaping me right now what the Greenville, I believe it was.
Okay.
And this year it's in New York. So that's a pretty nice little carrot to have dangled there, to think these boys could have a chance to go to New York. And it's realistic. They're going to be anywhere from the 1 to 3 seed, probably, depending on how things shake out this weekend. So it isn't unrealistic for them to have the goal of getting there. I had no idea last year, kind of, well, what does this mean? You know, like, how does it work? And so I have a little bit of a better feel for, you know, what did it take? What do we have? We've unfortunately had some really tough injuries here. Actually, Todd Hanson's son, Cade, went down with a knee. I don't know if you've talked to him at the studio, but
I didn't get a chance to see him. No, I'll have to ask him.
Unfortunately, yeah. He was having an MRI. I don't know if it was today or what, but it doesn't sound good for him.
And that's too
bad. He was our leadoff hitter and kind of our ace right for most of the season, having a great year. So you have to endure things like that. You know, it's always, I would never wish anything bad for anybody, but it is also fun to see new kids and what can they do and how do they step up. And I know you and I maybe talked about it, or I talked about it with somebody. That's the cool part about a team is, you know, right? Geez, one of our big guys goes down, and it's pretty crazy, athletes, how they're built and how their ability to step up when somebody else goes down. And you see that all the way up to the pro level all the time. I mean, there's a huge betting angle that when the superstar is out, you take that team. You know, your common logic would be, oh, their best player's out, they're going to lose. And it's crazy how much, you know, the other people step up, and that's what we need right now too. So hopefully that'll happen, but I'm excited for it all.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's exciting news, certainly. Yeah, I don't know if you saw this story or not, but you're in a good position to say something about this, having been a sports dad all these years and having coached back in the day as well. But St. Thomas Academy fired their head hockey coach, Mike Randolph, who's 72, and tied for the most wins in prep high school hockey history in the state, and wanted to come back and break the record with him next year, but they let him go. So they didn't bring him back, and he thought the reasons were kind of lame and so forth. Sometimes, you know, people can get a hold of you, and it was the board, yep, he said, and there gets to be a narrative sometimes that it can just, the only conclusion winds up with the coach leaving, whether it's justified or not. You know, you want parents to be involved. You just don't want them deciding whether the coach should still be the coach or not.
Yeah, I would assume that's what that case was. I have to read a little bit more about that, but I'm assuming there got to be some parent involvement, and I get it, you know, that sometimes maybe somebody's run their course. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a tough one. If he kind of had earmarked one more year and he would have broke some records, and Weren't they still successful, like right now, too, even? Like they were still winning hockey games, or was he kind of running his course?
500, they were. 40. Okay. He didn't spend his whole career there, but he was 49 and 30 at St. Thomas, and 32 years he was at Duluth East prior to that, was with them, and went to state 18 times. I mean, gosh, he's tied for the most wins all time. The guy knows how to coach.
Yeah, and I can tell you I have witnessed it at every level as far as the parent involvement, and it's not easy to be the parent, believe me. I've had lots of struggles over the years. I've talked about them, too, and just, you know, some of it is trying to learn and understand and what are the expectations here? How does this work? Is this just different than anything that I ever was brought up, you know, or do I need to step back? And I've said that, too, that I've had to take some steps back. I've had to, you know, do some self-reflection, too, like, you know, and let the coaches coach and let the kid figure it out. That does not mean that you don't have it's hard to ever let it go. I mean, when you're a dad and a competitor and things like that, you're always coaching. You're always, you know, trying to do your part. But I've also found a really, I don't know what the word is, but maybe it's just growth. But I've found a nice common ground of just sitting there and watching it happen too a little bit, knowing that and understanding that I cannot control the situation, you know, and you can say that simply like, okay, Brooks goes on the mound. Obviously, I cannot control his performance there, but it's maybe more, you know, how are you carrying yourself? How am I carrying myself? How does that then translate to how he interacts with his teammates, his coach, but also giving some grace to those coaches, you know, like, for instance, in this junior college setting, and we maybe talked about it last week, think about, one, the pay grade there, you know, to start out with, and then, two, the limited resources that somebody like that has and how much is put on him, especially baseball. He's got like 30 of these kids running around, all different walks of life, all different intentions and ambitions and, you know, and networks and whatever else, and you're like, come on, coach, how are you going to figure this out? How are you going to get all these kids going in the right direction? And sit there. So if you have 30 kids, guess how many parents you have? A lot more than 30. You know, and whether it's parents, significant others, or people that are in their life, but and they're left to manage all that with limited resources, limited other coaches, you know, his own life, his own family. And that might have been something that I think is easy to jump on right away. Like, why is my kid not playing more? Why is that kid not playing more? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you letting us know an appropriate time? What time game time is? Where's the field?
Yeah.
You know, just all of these things. And it's so easy to crab at coach and to break coach down and stuff too. And I've done it. I think I know everything too. So it's easy when you get in the right circle or whatever to think they're dumb. They don't know what they're doing. They're out to get your kid. Now, you know, you've heard me say that many times.
Yep.
I've been on the other side of it too, where I thought, you're screwing my kid. This is not fair or whatever. But it's taken some self-reflection. It's taken some experience. It's taken looking at it from a lot of different perspectives, and you know, but you'll never get to that common ground, you know, to be able to have it be some perfect world. But there is a lot of dynamics, and it isn't like you've got 20 people there trying to handle all those dynamics. You leave it on a few people, whether it's coach, DAD, you know, the assistants. But it's a tough gig. You know, it's easy to say, here you go. If you think you know everything, you try it for a while.
Yeah,
it's not easy.
And St. Thomas Academy hockey, I have to imagine it's a pressure-packed position to begin with.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
And there's expectations, you know, and obviously those expectations were there, but it doesn't take very long when you start not producing, you start not doing what is expected. It seems like it's a real short leash and a short memory of, well, do you remember everything that we've put into this and what we've done? It's like, yeah, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
So it's tough, but I will also say on the other side of it, to not just be like, hey, everybody lay off coach. Being the coach was one of the coolest things I ever did, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's pretty lucky to be a part of those kids' lives and to be a part of that experience. And I would give anything to be standing at third base or first base or having some kind of an impact with those kids yet. I've told you that's something I'm really like missing out on yet.
And yep.
I respect that part of it, too. It's lucky to be coach in that if you're handling it right, it's a pretty lucky deal, too. But, yeah, it's a lot to manage.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So don't know all the details. He did talk about a little in the Star Tribune article that I read, and some of it was he still lived in Duluth while he was coaching St. Thomas, even though he had rented an apartment down there. Some people didn't like that he still lived in Duluth. He missed the team's postseason banquet because there was a blizzard. He couldn't get there from Duluth, so he wasn't able to be at their team banquet. So it sounds like they felt like he was a little disconnected, and that probably was as much as anything, as much as certainly than wins and losses over the years. So each situation is different. Some coaches maybe need to be removed, you know. But I don't think oftentimes as many as kind of do get removed.
For the wrong reasons, And if it's all of these outside factors, that's what gets hard because, you know, none of us know what it's like to be on the inside there. And I think if you can have a pretty good pulse of starting just with yourself and your own, measuring stick of what my kid says versus maybe what's reality sometimes. And then there's times where I'm pretty proud of what he's saying and understanding what's right. Does that mean he does everything right? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to even see that chapter of it too, as they start learning. And, you know, you sit down and listen with your kids, and I've had it with both Piper and Brooksy and Carter, you know, just where I feel like you guys could coach that team. I think you've learned a lot. I think you would know, and I wish you could get a chance to coach them because I think it'd give you a whole different perspective on what it was like from your side of it as the player and thinking, oh, coach is dumb, coach is stupid, coach says stupid things, he does this, he does that. You'll have a little different perspective on things, too, if you get on the other side of it.
That's
kind of cool when you see that transpire. So, and again, I'm reflecting on some of my own experiences all the way around, but it's been a pretty neat, fun experience. I'm glad I have learned something from it, and what I take from it from here, I guess, will remain to be seen. I just don't like that it's going to be done, Todd. I
know.
Love this stuff.
It's coming.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
I know.
It's coming, that's for sure. Hey, so I
talked. That's where my golf game is going to improve.
Yes, that's, well, yes, you'll have more time to do it. That's right.
Okay. Hey,
did you ever have any, did you do anything that was kind of superstitious or for luck or anything when you were playing or coaching? Like, I'm thinking of the Twins summer sausage that Kyle Farmer started. That now they're they have a 10-game win streak since he broke out the summer sausage. So now you can't get rid of it. So here's this. They better not open that package near anybody because that thing's going to be a little rank.
Yeah, I heard Rocco talking about it. I honestly didn't even – I somehow missed that, and I heard him talking about it. And I'm like, that can't be good. It's been warm, and somebody takes the package off that. What a crazy thing to come up with. But actually, our talking about our baseball boys again, too, happened to be my son. But all of a sudden, I look in the dugout, and while we're rallying a little bit here, he's got a St. Cloud Huskies football helmet on in the baseball dugout. You know, and then somebody hits a dang three-run home run during that. So that is all it takes, Todd.
Yep.
For that kind of stuff to happen, you know, they'll you've seen all the different things, the rally monkey and all the things that you've had over the years. That's all it takes. Something works or clicks like that, and you, especially in baseball, you just don't stop it. You don't stop it until somebody gives you a really good reason.
That's right. Stick with it. It's working. And so the sausage will be in the Twins clubhouse a little while longer anyway. They open a series with Boston here tonight. Are the Timberwolves going to beat the Denver Nuggets in the playoff series that starts tomorrow night?
Well, I would think that the Timberwolves are going to be one of the toughest matchups for Denver simply because of our size.
Yeah.
That they usually bully everybody. You know, I mean, nobody can guard the Joker usually, and we got a couple guys that we can put on him. We have so much length. Obviously, we defend. I love the fact of how we handled that first series. That should only give us a little bit of puff in our chest to be like, hey, we can do this. We can win these series. We can go on the road and win games. So, obviously, we need – Cat's got to be huge. Rudy's got to be huge. And just everybody – our length, I think, matches up. If anybody's length matches up, it's ours against them. So, I am obviously drinking the Kool-Aid, and I hope it goes well.
Remember when the Gobert trade was made and so many in the national media, two centers, that'll never work. And honestly, last year it didn't look like it was going to. But that was because Cat missed so much time and it took a little to implement it. Now teams are looking at that, as you just said, the Wolves are one of the few teams that have enough size to match up with Denver, because they not only have Jokic, they've got Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr., yep. And all three of those guys are 6'10 and up, so you need size to compete with them.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have so much length even just on our wing players and stuff, too, that you know, helps with some of that, too. And to be able to, I'm sure you have to double-team Joker, and I don't even know what their formula is going to be. And then we got Coach with a bum knee or whatever, too. So yep. That adds a little bit of a dynamic to it. But, I mean, I'm sure they'll manage through that. But it's just that length is so huge, and I hope we can battle. It'd be awesome to steal one on the road from them and then come home with that. That arena is just going to be bananas, I would say.
Yeah.
So from all of that, I sure hope so. But it's, to me, one of the – you also could say on the other side, too, they obviously have that length that's going to cause us some issues, too. So
right.
It isn't like – it's not like Rudy can just stand in the lane and be a one-man zone. I mean, they can really detract and pull you away from what you're used to because of all of their different weapons and the length they have in those weapons, too. So it's going to be a great series. I'm sure – the whole NBA world now, it's fun that the Vikings are part of, or not the Vikings, the Timberwolves are part of that rhetoric now, and they're involved in those conversations about the biggest matchups.
Yep.
That's what's cool about.
Yeah, no doubt. So the last team to repeat as NBA champs, I thought it was the Lakers back with Kobe and Shaq, but actually Golden State did it in 17 and 18 when they brought in Kevin Durant, and they had that 73-win season that year and so forth. But prior to that, it goes back to like 04. Not easy to repeat. You play over about 100 games or maybe more if you go all the way and win the NBA championship. That's got to have a little bit of a residual effect, and part of the reason it is so difficult to repeat, I'm hoping that it's getting to be a lot of games in 2 years for the Nuggets. Plus, Jamal Murray, who's been a killer in the postseason, kind of gimping around with a calf. I would take any injury advantage I could get if the Nuggets have Jamal Murray and he can't play. I'd take it.
Right. I agree with you on that. I thought it was great. Obviously, it's all about Ant right now, and
yep.
As far as just all the love he's getting from, you know, big-time Hall of Famers and the media and everything else. But the coolest part about it all, to me, was that press conference with Kat sitting next to him.
Yep.
And he just basically said, just don't effing foul. Stop
right.
effing fouling. You know, like, that's what you got to do. But it was like, it was complete leadership at that point to be like, I know my spot now. We need you. The only way we're going to win is not with me. It's going to be because of you, Kat. It's going to be because we need you on the floor. Because he is, like he said, he's an absolute nightmare
yep.
to match up with.
Yep.
You know, like, who guards that guy like that?
Yeah.
You know, because he can do it from outside, inside, and he's so good with the ball in his body. I mean, it's like guarding a gorilla.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, nothing Rudy can do. Rudy can't hardly take one dribble. I mean, he's a complete misfit when it comes to offense.
Yes.
Like, you know. But Kat, it's just like, how do you stop that guy? He usually just stops himself. You know, I mean,
yeah.
that's really the thing. Nobody shuts him down. He can always get his shot off. He's got such a quick release at 7 feet tall. And when he goes, when he drives, he's a great finisher, awesome free throw shooter. And when he wants to, you know, guard, like you said, he goes, well, I was in foul trouble probably because I was trying to step up my D. And we do need that because he's
yep.
the kind of guy that can get on Joker and have that length. And
yep.
So, I mean, it isn't like we're just looking at one guy, which is great. We have great depth. We have, you know, just, yeah, you can tell I'm excited about it. It's
yeah. I'm picking the Timberwolves to win in six. I don't want to go back to Denver for a game seven. I think that would be awfully
yeah, would
tough,
get tough
to win. So
yep.
I like the Wolves yep. in six. I know they're the underdogs in the series. I know I'm drinking Timberwolves Kool-Aid a little bit by predicting the Timberwolves, but I really think they have a good shot.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I sure couldn't go against that. That's for sure. I'm always homer. I'm a homer for sure. but these guys are legit. This
yep.
isn't like,
yep.
okay, yeah, the Vikings stumbled into the playoffs and it's going to last for maybe a game. We have no chance of winning. That is not the case here.
No, not
Nobody
at all.
Would be completely shocked if they were the champions.
They would really not. That's for sure.
And that's awesome.
Lefty, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Todd. Have a good weekend.
Jeff Ash joining us here on the Todd and Friends podcast. It's brought to you by Granite Bank in Spicer and Cold Spring. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Watch for future episodes of the Todd and Friends podcast at KWLM.com or on the air here at KWLM 1340 AM and 96.3 FM.